Lord, I love the sport. conversation. So now won't you tell me
people in hell right now that would love to have what we've had in the last half hour, you know, and you might have been them raindrops, but think about all the opportunities that they could have had to get saved. They're going to be tormented with that the rest of their eternity of what I could have had and what I got. Us folks is We get excited about thinking about something better than what we got down here, which is pretty easy, isn't it? My goodness, we got a whole lot better coming than what we got right now. And it'll be here before you know it. Good to see you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Before I forget it, because I'm very forgetful, the revival meeting at Corinth, Wednesday night, we'll just dismiss here and go down yonder, okay? So that starts at 7 on Wednesday night. So keep that in mind. Don't come here. If you come here, you might not see no folks, okay? So let's go down there and be with them folks and Brother William and them on Wednesday. That is day and night services. A lot of revivals going on. My goodness, a lot of revivals. So some place to go if you got the opportunity and time to be there, okay? Not hold you long. I want you to turn to book of Luke chapter number 9. I'm looking at it and couldn't even see the chapter. I'm looking right straight at it. Luke chapter number 9. Concentrate really on one verse of Scripture, but I'm going to read just about half a dozen. And I want to really concentrate on one particular verse. I know that God knows all things. God knows the things that I desire most. And even though our prayers sometimes seem repetitive, but until a prayer is answered, if it's on your heart, you're going to pray it.
Amen.
You're not going to stop.
Amen.
And I like the part about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, okay? I like that part. And I know that if his will to convict somebody's heart, he can't force folks to get saved. He's not going to go against his word. But he's going to give them the opportunity. And that's all you can ask for is an opportunity. If you get an opportunity and you get the Holy Spirit of conviction upon somebody's heart, that's all you can ask for. I've been helpless so many times, and as a preacher's concerned, I get up here sometimes and you can just feel God speaking to somebody, but you can't make them get saved. You can do the best job that you possibly can and give everything that God's given you and spit it out there. But it's up to them to receive it. And if they don't receive it and they die and go to hell, it won't because of me saying no, and I'm in a hurry, I got this, that, and the other to do, I ain't got time to fool you. A friend of mine, eternity's too long for us to think about. Book of Luke chapter number 9, I want to read a half dozen to get down to the last verse, verse 57. Came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, I got to say this, that certain man meant nobody. It meant nobody except to the person doing the talking. Now you got to think about that. We'll never know many folks in this Bible. We'll never know them by name, but God knows them by name. We must know and put a name and a face together. But I want to tell you, it's important to folks, if they ask God a question, for God to give them an answer. And he knows what they're looking for. And he knows whether to answer it in that way. Not that he changes the truth. He don't. But he knows, and he'll imply an answer right directly to a person's heart. He can do that for you. I can pray for it to rain. And I can say, oh, Lord, we need rain. But friend, God knows whether we need rain or not. Came to pass, they went in the way. A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. Son of man hath not where to lay his head. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou, preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go to bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and then looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for God, the songs that we've heard. We thank you for the Spirit and how it guides us and directs us. I pray you move in our hearts, and we pray, God, your will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. The last verse that Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. He's using a terminology that we understand about looking back. When you're plowing, he's using that terminology. They could relate to that. They could relate to that. If you were plowing oxen like it is in the Bible all throughout, if you were plowing, you didn't really have time to look back. Now, my plowing days are limited, but the plowing days that I've lived, I've done a very good job at doing crooked rows. And crooked rows are simpler than straight rows. They're real simple. If you doze off, drag off, look off, if you don't focus, you're crooked. You're crooked. And I've done many things crooked in my lifetime, and rows is just one of them. There's been so many other things that if I dog off, drag off, look off, I'd be crooked. Kevin never could figure out how in the world to stay straight. Never could. In fact, today, staying straight's not one of my great things that I do. And don't sit out there and think that you're all holy and you're straight. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would have anything to talk about. None of us. The whole six verses that kind of we read had everything to do with what folks was more, had as a priority. Jesus listened to every one of them, that what they said. And Jesus could have said, well, he used this terminology. It's not fit. You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven if you're looking back. We know the grace of God, that grace of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding, it passes all. It passes all understanding. In other words, it goes past sometimes understanding. Sometimes our mind doesn't comprehend what God's trying to do. Sometimes our mind, we're thinking always of what's necessary, because we would think it would have been necessary for the Lord to settle what these folks had asked. Jesus spent every night upon this earth. Where? Now, look in your Bible. The disciples would get into the boat with him and they'd go to the other side, but where did they go from there? Next place, next town, next village? Where'd he sleep? Where'd he rest? We talk about the woman at the well, I was weary with his journey. We talk about him sleeping the hinder part of the ship. We can talk about many different locations and many different places that he traveled from place to place to place. But friend, where the disciples could have said, where are we going to be sleeping tonight? Where are we going to lay our head? And a lot of us take a lot of security in sleeping in our own bed. We take a lot of security in knowing the events. What we've done this past week will almost be a copy and repeat of what we're doing this next week. We're routine people. We do things like, and Jesus said, looking back is trouble. Now, what is God trying to say? God is looking at these folks and is he not ignoring them? He's not saying, no, you're just all wrong. You're not fit. But those that are living with that, think about with me and just think with me just a moment of time. One time long ago, a man was preaching the gospel, and he was preaching this gospel that the folks hated. They despised it. They hated it. And because of their hatred for the word of God, God told the preacher, say, well, you just tell them, folks, air's fixing to become a man. You're not going to see no rain. It's not going to rain month after month. And in fact, let's just throw some years on that while we're at it. And it's just not going to rain. Now, me and you, we think, what in the world? This summer's unreal. We got rain all the time. We're doing good in the rain department, okay? But friend, if you have a lack of rain, we're doing good in the bellyaching department. We really do. But listen, when the Lord told the preacher, said, you tell them folks it's going to be no rain. You know what God did? God moved him. God put him by a little brook. Now, fed him by birds, but God put him by a brook. Now I want you to focus for a moment of time. When we are given instructions from God, when we are told, God, okay, you want me to say this? I'm going to say it. But then the consequences come back. Remember Daniel? He wasn't going to stop praying. Consequences. Hebrew children, they wasn't going to bow their knees. Consequences. So if you're obedient to the word of God, if you're obedient to the voice of God, if you're obedient to the will of God, you know, there's been things that's happened to me as a Christian that I'm thinking, wow, somebody low-rate me and talk about me in my older, younger days, It'd been a very just cause for me to do what the scripture says, if a man smite thee on the cheek, not to offer him the other one. In your younger days, wouldn't you? But in your Christian days, the Bible tells us to give him and offer him the other one. Here's what I want you to listen to. The preacher was given the instruction to tell him, here's the judgment of God, and God simply put him by a brook. Well, when there's a drought, when there's no rain, brooks dry up. Fast forward, brook dried up. God sent him. Shumanite woman. This little woman down the road, not too far down the road, last meal, son, she's going to gather some sticks. She's going to make that last meal. We know this. We don't even have to read it. We know this story. The Lord sent this prophet at the very exact time that he met her on the road. Situation was, we're going to have our last meal and we're just going to die. Friend, when God puts out his business to do something, think about how God does it. When God told that there was going to be no rain, the preacher could see that the stream was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The widow, this woman that had just her one son and had no means, just had a meal barrel and had some oil, she had no way of knowing about the creek or the brook. She was in another town. She had her own set of problems, her own set of circumstances. When Jesus told these people here in this particular passage, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head, do you think he was worried about where he's going to sleep at night? Listen, God worked so far in advance. As the creek bed, as the brook was drying up and going this way, at the very same time, this woman's meal barrel was doing fine. It was slowly going down and down. I don't know if it was going down at the same level or what. She wasn't looking at the creek bank, and the preacher wasn't looking at the meal barrel. Two separate instances. God's not sitting there worried about what's happening. God, don't you think that woman had prayed, God, something, we got it. We got to have something here. Don't you think? You see, if stuff's going back in it to refill, none of us worry. Other day, I was driving down the road and I hadn't got gas, and these fancy cars tell you how many miles you got left. I test that every now and then. Charlene is the expert. But I tested every now and then. I had full intentions of getting gas, and then something happened. I didn't get gas. I come to church, and I didn't get gas, and I thought, well, I'm gonna get gas. And I got it figured how many miles it is to this church and all those things. I got it all figured out. We're good. And I happened to think, what if something happened that changed my schedule? Oh, there's gas stations everywhere. No problem. Friend, we don't know when we're going to go the miles we think we're going to go the direction we think we're going to go, and in my case, forget to get gas. Watch this. When that meal barrel went down to a spot, it become critical. And until it becomes critical, it's not a priority. How many times did the prophet sit by the brook and said, Lord, just wanted to let you know we ain't got as much streams we had before. Just want you to know, Lord, them birds that's feeding me, I didn't too much like that food. Well, he didn't say none of that, did he? In fact, it never became critical. It was a situation where, did he know where he was going to sleep at night? That rascal slept by that brook day after day after day. And that woman
and her son slept in that house day after day after day. But then Jesus comes along in this passage of Scripture, and he says, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven if you're looking back. You're not fit. And go back to the plowing terminology. What happens when you look back? You do what I did. You get crooked. And you can't overcorrect a crooked row. You ever tried to re-plow a row? You make a bigger mess the second go-round than the first go-round unless you smooth her out, because you won't know which road to follow. It's funny how it's a simple story, isn't it? But it's funny how that God is trying to say, what are we going to do? The disciples could have said, where are we going to sleep at night? To be a follower of the Lord, are you looking back at what you know? And what you know. Because there wouldn't have been nobody that would have blamed that preacher for saying, now, Lord, this creek's running dry. Wouldn't have been nothing wrong with saying to that woman, said, my oil cruise is running low. Every one of us understand the principles of supply and demand. Every one of us understand what the Scriptures tells us. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Every one of us got that down pat. And we think we have to tell God when things are getting low, where are we going to sleep tonight, Lord? You see, those folks got used to being in a different place almost every night. And it wasn't something that they would say, Lord, this is kind of getting old. In the military days, they just loved to put you out in the middle of nowhere. And they loved to do that because most of the time the bigwigs, they weren't out there in the same bushes as everybody else was, fighting the chiggers and the skeeters and the snakes and all that kind of stuff. I'm glad it wasn't somebody else. I'm glad it was just chiggers and never mind. But the reality, they weren't nowhere near. All of us that they had one stripe and one stripe, they were in the worst spots. You got more stripes than stars, you was in the best spots. Jesus should have had a palace. But no, he came in the humble form and he slept side by side right where those disciples were. Jesus was by the brook. When the preacher had done God's will, he was right there with him. He never left him. And Jesus was right there with the woman that had no meal, kept going down and down. You think he was worried? Friend, when Jesus couldn't take and multiply stuff, it was very easy to make that meal barrel never run dry. You see, we often get our minds on thinking about what we know, how smart we are, how educated we are to be able to figure up complicated things and says, if all things work like it's supposed to, friend of mine, if I know what I know, I'm able to sit there and figure. I've seen people to sit there and say, well, how many bricks on that house? And they'd come real close and say, how many bricks on that? And I'm thinking, good Lord, how do you do that? If you do it enough, do it so many times, you'll get pretty doggone close. And you know what? It's all about God knowing more than we know. We got lots of problems, but God already knows our problems. Jesus, and I'll hurry, Jesus said this right here. So let me backtrack. Where are we going to sleep? He just said up here in one of these earlier verses, verse 59, he just said, follow me. Now, if you read the rest of the verse in these old red letter editions, you don't have to worry about somebody else was doing the talking. He just said, follow me. Where are we going tonight? Just follow. That's all you got to do. Just follow. If I
If I'm looking where I've been, how can I follow? Just follow. Whenever that woman got that preacher, and that preacher, you know how these preachers are. They'll say anything, do anything, you know. But you see, when the Lord's backing up what the preacher says, everything works out all right. And all she had to do was make a little old cake for that preacher. I wonder what plan B was. If she would have rejected the preacher and feeding him, I wonder what plan B was. You see, when God touches your heart, there is no plan B. You know, sometimes in our life, we just need to trust God at what He says do. Just trust Him. Just to know. Don't look back. There's so many times the failure has happened, the wrong thing that's caused my future direction to occur. If I'll quit looking back, if I'll realize that He said to follow, follow means just to go the direction God wants us to go. Follow means get out there and do it. Then He says, after He says follow, He tells in verse 60, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach. Go and preach. Now that's what He said. Go and preach. Did He have a hard time telling those folks that it wasn't going to rain? He didn't have a hard time at all. Because of the sins that they're doing, the things that they were doing wrong, He had an easy time saying, friend, I want you to know something. God's turning the water off. Did He have a hard time telling this woman, listen, feed me first. Now, how many of us would have said, feed me first? Especially when you're looking at that old dirty, stringy-haired little fella that ain't hardly got any food, looked like he hadn't eaten 6 months. No, don't. The truth of it was, when you're looking a kid in the face, how come that fella can't have food first? Because there's not a parent in this room that won't do without to make sure their kids have got food on the table. And yet, the proper question was, feed me first. You see, some things that are preaching, if you think it through, you think, how can I do that? But reality is listening at the warning or the word of God and go and preach. And when you get to the part in your life that you're not looking back, that you're just following, and you just go and preach, you know what the Lord tells us in the last one? Here's what the Lord says. Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. There is a danger involved in looking back. A danger. You know, sometimes when you drive on the highways, when there's trouble up ahead, they'll put flashing lights or they'll put them barriers up and little flashing signs or little arrows that's saying they put a bunch of them in there. And if they do a whole bunch of stuff, you might all pay attention. Where we go all the time, where we about head down the highway, there's this crazy part of the road that it goes and it stops. Now, us folks that travel that road 100 times every time you turn around, we don't have a problem. Our car just stops automatically. It just says, I ain't going past that. But these characters that come from out of state, that don't live here, they'll be barreling down that road 700,000 miles an hour, and they get down to there, and then they see that one little thing that says, and they say, well, I don't want to go right. I just want to keep on going, because if you look, you can see the road in front of it. It's just a little detour in the middle of it. You know what happens there? There's danger. And that danger causes many, many accidents. And we ain't got enough sense to change that road. We just let accidents just keep happening. Friend, there's a danger if you keep on doing that same stupid thing over and over. But if you'll just trust God, If you'll just trust God, the danger is not even there. There was no way God would have let that woman starve to death once she obeyed God. There was no way that preacher was ever going to be able to thirst to death and have no food once he obeyed the voice of God. And let me just share this and we'll hush. I've not seen a righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. We may think we're going to go without that 14 meals that we eat every day. But I got news for you. God takes care of us. I'm glad I don't spend my time looking over my shoulder. I got somebody to follow. Brother Gordon, song of invitation. If you're not where you need to be tonight, you can come and know him in the free pardon of sin. If you're where you need to be, but you're living out of God's will, in other words, you've been saved, but you're not happy, you'll get things right. You'll be happy. The only way to be happy is follow the Lord. Just follow him. Quit following yourself. Follow him. Let's stand and sing a verse of this song, Brother Gordon.